بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد. الحمد لله. Today is the 13th of June in the year 2021. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 33rd session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Al-Kahf. And I've reached verse 107. So inshallah today going through up to and including verse 109. So verse 107, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As to those who believe and do righteous deeds, they have for their entertainment Jannatul Firdaus. So here the first thing to point out is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Jannatul Firdausi Nuzula, i.e. as a feast, as an entertainment. If you go back to verse 102, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the unbelievers. And he says at the end of the verse, Inna a'atadna jahannama lil kafirina nuzula. We have prepared for the unbelievers hell as an entertainment. He uses the same word nuzula, or as a feast. So note here, Allah Ta'ala uses the same word, nuzula, i.e. for the righteous. So look at the contrast. An entertainment and a feast for the people of Firdaus. An entertainment and a feast for the people of hell. So obviously for the people of paradise, it makes absolute sense. But why is the same word used for the people of hell? Because they're the feast. They're going to get roasted. They're the ones that are feeding, i.e. The creations within the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. Ameen. And here this is one of the holy verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Firdaus. So there's a few things. First of all, Firdaus in Persian means an enclosed place, a park. Firdaus in Persian means an enclosed place, a park. So what's interesting is other languages have maybe adopted this, or maybe it was their word, Firdaus. But in Persian, it actually means a place of leisure, a park, an enclosed place. The other thing is that there's another passage where it's mentioned in Surah 23, verse 11. So in Surah 23, verse 11, Surah Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there, الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will inherit Jannat al-Firdaus, where they will dwell therein, i.e. forever. So what does it mean, inherit? الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ. يَرِثُونَ means inherit. In verse 10 just prior, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الْوَارِثُونَ. These will be the heirs who will inherit Jannat al-Firdaus. So there's a report which explains. In Ibn Majah, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, Qurtubi in his Tadkhira number 356 Sahih, and also authentic in Sahih al-Jami number 5675. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is not one amongst you who does not have two homes, a home in paradise and a home in hell. Hence, if he dies and enters hell, the people of paradise will inherit his home. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited Surah 23 verse 10. Ulaika humul warithun. These will be the heirs. So here something very interesting is mentioned by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you will inherit paradise. So this doesn't mean it's an inheritance. There's another meaning. The meaning here is we've both got a home in hell and a home in paradise. So this is fascinating. So even though you could live a most righteous life, you still have a home in hell. So why is that quite shocking? Because look how close hellfire is. Everything's prepared for your punishment. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but if you enter paradise, if you enter hell, somebody inherits your home in paradise. He takes it. It's actually given to somebody else. And of course, the same is true, vice versa. And this is why there's a very famous hadith. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. And he mentions in the grave, if a person is unsuccessful, he a gate opens, a door opens, and he's shown a place in paradise. This is a person who's not successful. And the angel said, this would have been your place if you had been successful. So what is that place? That's the home. So not only are we given knowledge of it, we are shown it. But if you're successful, a gate opens and you see the home in hell. And then the angel said, don't worry. If you had not been successful, that would have been your home. So even those who are successful see their home in hell. Astaghfirullah. Think about that. So look how frightening it is. In the grave, all these things will be taking place. And this is what's mentioned here in the glorious Quran. Then it says, you will inherit Firdaus. So what is Firdaus? In Sahih Bukhari, number 2819, Tirmidhi, number 3185, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 12254. Our beloved Messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Firdaus is the peak of paradise, its center and the most excellent of it. SubhanAllah. Firdaus is the peak of paradise, its center and the most excellent of it. So here the Prophet is explaining something about the levels of paradise. They can't be linear. If they are linear, the center would be in the middle. So the Prophet is highlighting it's a dome shape. So if the highest peak is on the top of the dome, it's the center. It's the very center. So the Prophet he said, Firdaus is the peak of paradise. Then he said, it is center. The center, and it's the most excellent part, meaning the highest level. So here the Prophet is explaining it's the highest level of paradise, the center, the peak. And this is why there's a report in Tirmidhi, number 1900, Sahih, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the father is the middle gate of paradise. The father is the central gate of paradise, meaning the peak. If you look after your father, you will enter, inshallah, Firdaus, the Prophet's highlighting sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't mean the middle of paradise. Like some people translate, you'll enter the middle of paradise. So this shows the status of the parents. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Tabarani Sahih, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then ask him for Firdaus. Verily it is the best place in paradise. So this is important. So when you're making dua, sometimes you feel ashamed. You think, can I ask for Firdaus? I'm living a devilish life. And you don't even feel right when you're asking, you're thinking, Ya Allah, give me Firdaus. But then you think, Firdaus is reserved for the prophets, the Sahaba. The reason we ask is the Prophet told us to ask. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Firdaus. So when you're asking, it's not out of arrogance or thinking that you're worthy. You're only asking because Rasulullah has told you to ask. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you ask for paradise, you say, Ya Allah, bless me with Jannat al-Firdaus. And in your heart, you're saying, because your beloved has asked us to ask for this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't be embarrassed, right? Don't start saying, Ya Allah, let me scrape into paradise. That's what people say. That's what people say this. Ya Allah, let me scrape in. Ya Allah, give me Firdaus. I can't ask for Firdaus. This is making a myth. You're right, brother, logically. But the Prophet has asked us to make this dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, it's a beautiful name. My uncle who recently passed away, his name was Firdaus, mashallah. May Allah give him Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen. And also in terms of location, where is Firdaus? So, just to have a connection. So the reports, the hadith is in Tirmidhi, number 2580, Hasan Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad Ibn Kathir's Tafsir. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily in paradise, there is a bahar. There is an ocean of milk. There is a bahr, an ocean of water. There is a bahr of honey, an ocean of honey. And there is a bahr of wine, an ocean of wine. The anhar, the rivers, then gush out of them, i.e. the bahr, the oceans. So this is a very important narration because it explains things. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? There's an ocean. He used the word bahr. Bahr means ocean. The Quran says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ الْبَحْرَ لِتَأْكُلُوا مِنْهُ لَحْمًا تَرِيًّا مِنْ سُرَى النَّهْرِ. From the ocean you get fresh fish. So Allah has mentioned the word bahr. It means ocean. It doesn't mean river. So what are the four oceans in paradise we know of? The Prophet said there's an ocean of milk. God says that is, you know, Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean. Imagine it's all water. But imagine one ocean is made of milk. Another ocean is made of water, another of honey, another of wine. Then the Prophet said, the rivers, the anhar, gush out of the oceans. So what image have you got? The oceans are above, and from the four oceans, the rivers flow down. So this is clearly the image. So this is the hadith. But you've got to turn to a verse. In Surah 47, verse 15. It talks about the rivers. So in Surah 47, verse 15, Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there, فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ عَاسٍ. In it are rivers of water incorruptible. So what word does Allah ta'ala use in this verse? Anhar, river. He's not talking about the oceans. The rivers of water are incorruptible. Meaning, in Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ibn Abbas explained, it means the water never changes. It doesn't go off. So water goes off, you notice. Zamzam doesn't. The reason is it's from paradise. People go to the science. Is why does Zamzam not? It goes from paradise. But water, if you, no matter how pure it is, apart from the blessed Zamzam, it will go off. The waters of paradise, the Quran says, doesn't go off the river, from the river. Then it says in the next part of the verse, وَأَنَهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرَ طَعْمًا. Of rivers of milk, of which the taste never changes. Meaning, in Ibn Kathir's tafsir and Ibn Jarir, it says, from Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahmatullah alayh, the milk does not come from the udders of cattle. The milk does not come from the udders of cattle, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn al-Mundir, Ibn Kathir. So the milk, which is also pure, doesn't go off. Milk goes off very quickly. The milk doesn't go off. But that milk, the river, doesn't come from the udders of cattle. So where does it come from? It comes from the ocean. The ocean of milk. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from the udders of cattle. Then the Quran says, وَأَنَهَارٌ مِّنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِشَارِبِينَ. Rivers of wine, a joy to those who drink. Sa'id ibn Jubair said in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn al-Mundir, Ibn Kathir, their wine was not pressed on the man's feet. The man, the wine that we, that people have on the earth is, it goes through, you can tell it's real. People say, why is it haram? Well, leaving aside, look how it's made. You step on it. Then you put it into a dabba, right? And you leave it for centuries. And somebody goes, well, I'm not being funny, but I don't need to go to Mufti Sahib for that. And you're drinking that. Because the older it is, the more price, you know, because the more bakwas it becomes, more precious it becomes. You know, it doesn't, it's haram. But Sa'id ibn Jubair said, the wine of paradise doesn't come from under men's feet. And then the Quran says, وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ أَصَلٍ مُصَفَّى. Rivers of honey, pure and clear. Sa'id ibn Jubair says, the honey does not come out of the belly of bees. The honey does not come out of the belly of bees. This is in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn al-Mundir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So, in this verse, Allah Ta'ala is talking about the rivers. And He's talking about that which is below, i.e. the oceans. The hadith mentions the oceans, and the hadith mentions, the Quran mentions the rivers. So now, so we got the oceans in place, and we've got the rivers. What else? So, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in Sahih Bukhari, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Him for Al-Firdos, it is the central and highest part of paradise. Then He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from it gushes the anhar, the rivers of paradise. And above it is the arsh of the most merciful. So now the Prophet is giving you locations. So what did he say? He said Firdos. From Firdos gushes the rivers of paradise. So the rivers are underneath Firdos. But where's the ocean? So we're going to come to all this. And then the Prophet said, it is above it is the Arsh, the glorious throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we know where that Firdaus is above the rivers. Firdaus is above the rivers, which are mentioned in the Quran. Another piece to the jigsaw. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, the distance between the seventh heaven and the Kursi is 500 years. So the seventh heaven, to make it easy, is at the bottom. First is at the top. We'll put it at the bottom. Between the seventh heaven and the Kursi is 500 years. What that 500 years is, Allah Ta'ala knows best. Then Ibn Mas'ud said, the distance between the Kursi and the water, water is now mentioned, and the water is 500 years. So you got the seventh heaven, 500 years, you got the Kursi, 500 years, you got the water. Then Ibn Mas'ud said, the Arsh is above the water, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the Arsh. Nothing of your deeds is hidden from him. So where is this recorded? In Tabarani in his Kabir, number 8987, Bayhaqi in his Al-Asma, page 401, Ibn Khuzaymah in his Al-Tawheed, page 105 and T76, Hafiz Zahabi in his Al-Ulu, page 64, states Sahih, also in Kitab al-Arsh, number 105, Hafiz Ibn Qayyim in his Ijtima' al-Juyush, page 100, states Sahih, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, 1-86, states Sahih, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi in his Mukhtasar al-Ulu, number 48, states strong. So note, there is an awesome body of water between the Kursi and the Arsh. So now the Prophet is explaining and the Sahaba are explaining exactly. I'm going to put all this into an image so you understand exactly where these great creations are. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that there's water under the Arsh. In Surah Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 11 verse 7, Audhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, and his throne is above the water. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that underneath the Arsh there's some water. What's this water? These waters have been there from time immemorial, because our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded the decree for the creatures 50,000 years before he created the heavens and the earth. Ibn Wahab then added, and he recited this verse, Surah 11, verse 7. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, and his throne was over the water. In Sahih Muslim, Tirmidhi Hassan Sahih Gharib Ibn Kathir's Tafsir. So what does this mean, this beautiful hadith? 50, so the Qadr, putting it simply, Allah Ta'ala's knowledge has always been with him. There's no starting point to that. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is his sifat. So there's no starting point to his knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part of the Qadr is the writing. He wrote that Qadr, that some of that knowledge, 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. That as a starting point. So the knowledge comes first, which is always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he decided, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to write it 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Then the creation took place. The water, where does that fit in here? This hadith clearly indicates that when that writing was taking place 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, the Arsh and the water was already there. So what does that tell you about this water? This water is, you know, even ancient isn't the correct word. It's pre-ancient. It's 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, the Arsh and the water. The Quran mentions it. How much water is there? What is this water? Our beloved Messenger himself, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between the seventh heaven and the Arsh, so not even from the bottom to the top, between the seventh heaven and the Arsh lies an ocean. The distance from its bottom to the top is the distance between the heavens and the earth. So somebody says to you, you see these people going to the bottom of the ocean and they put those, you know, crazy contraptions together and they can't go, you know, they go to a certain stage because the pressure is too great and they've only gone down a few miles. What is the depth of this ocean? So it's when he goes, go to the top of the seventh heaven, go to the bottom of the seventh earth, that's the depth. Where is that recorded? In Abu Dawood, number 4723, Tirmidhi, number 3320, Hassan Gharib, Ibn Majah, number 193, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 1772-1, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 3173, 3848-9, states Sahih. Ad-Diya in his Al-Mukhtar, number 464, states Sahih. Hafiz ibn Qayyim in his Hashiya, Abu Dawood states strong, and his Mukhtasar Al-Sawa'ik, 2-207, states strong. Hafiz Zahabi in his Kitab al-Arsh number 24 states Hassan or better. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi, however, detected a weakness in his Ad-Da'ifa number 1247. So the body of this water is beyond us. With all these evidence in place, this is the geography now. So somebody goes to you, what should I, what image, where is everything? So right at the top is the Arsh. Right, the roof of creation. Is the Arsh, the glorious throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Quran says, Rabbul Arshil Azim, Lord of the immense throne, and Rabbul Arshil Kareem, Lord of the honorable throne. Underneath the Arsh, in location, geography, is this gargantuan water. And look at the depth of that water, from the seventh heaven to the bottom, is that water directly underneath the Arsh. Underneath that gargantuan water is the Kursi, is the awesome Kursi, which is mentioned in one place, which is named after it, the greatest verse of the Quran, Surah 2, verse 255. Underneath the Kursi is Jannat al-Firdaus. Think about it. You know, people don't explain things. So you go, where is Jannat al-Firdaus? Oh, brother, it's up there. What do you mean it's up there? Right? And you go, oh, it's up there, brother. There's nothing higher than it. Baskar. Right, Jannat al-Firdaus is underneath the Kursi. Underneath Jannat al-Firdaus are the immense oceans of paradise, which I've mentioned in the hadith. That's under Jannat al-Firdaus. The rivers are underneath the oceans, going to the lower levels of paradise. And that filters to all parts of paradise. So now, there's something strange here. Everything makes sense, except one. The Arsh, that makes absolute sense. The gargantuan water, okay, we get our heads around that. The Kursi, okay, mashallah. Jannat al-Firdaus, right. The oceans are underneath Jannat al-Firdaus. So the question to ask is, well, who's providing Jannat al-Firdaus? The oceans are underneath Jannat al-Firdaus. They are providing for the lower levels, the rivers. So this clearly indicates Jannat al-Firdaus is something special. It's some direct thing taking place from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can only appreciate that when you go to what I've mentioned. And of course, eventually it goes down to the lower levels of paradise. So here Allah ta'ala is telling you in Surah Al-Kahf that this is Firdaus. But no details are given. The details have to be understood from other various text mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. And also was interesting, somebody asked one of the sheikhs about this water underneath the Arsh. He said, why is there all that water? And he goes, Allah Ta'ala knows best. He goes, but the Quran says, وَجَعَلْنَا قُلْ we made every living thing out of water. Allah Ta'ala says, talks about the Big Bang as well. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ قَانَتَ رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Do not the unbelievers see that the heavens and the earth were one solid mass which we split? So Allah Ta'ala talks about the beginning of the universe. He goes, the Big Bang, he mentions that in the Quran, in Surah 21. And then he says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. And we made every living thing out of water. أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Won't they believe? So what the scholar said, maybe this water is so voluminous because Allah Ta'ala told you that everything I make, which is alive, is made of water. So that indicates how many creations are there. Allahu Akbar. If there's all that water, Allah Ta'ala, obviously, you know, he doesn't need anything, but he's told us that. There's all this mass volume of water which is beyond comprehension. What's it being used for? And the Quran says every living thing is made out of water. And on the earth, in the universe, we know it's just a fraction of that. And I mentioned the lanterns which are underneath the Arsh as well. Remember the martyrs? They travel from the lanterns. So all of this, you know, can be appreciated when you study. Verse 108. Wherein they shall dwell, no change will they wish for themselves. Now, what's interesting, why does Allah Ta'ala mention that? They will dwell, i.e. in Firdaus. And they will wish, la yabghuna anha hiwala. They will wish no change for themselves. And what's interesting, this is human nature. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said in Sahih Muslim, that the people of paradise will not get bored. Now why did he mention that? Because people ask these questions. You know, what's strange, you know, one brother asked me, I couldn't believe it. He said, brother, will you get bored? And I couldn't believe he asked me that. And I goes, what do you mean? He goes, I just mean, you know, you're there forever, but, you know, after a bit, don't you? And I goes, no. And he goes, because the Prophet said it. So, why? Because you don't bring dunya into paradise. Imagine having a cracking time on the earth. You're in the most beautiful place. You're having whatever you want to eat and drink. Everything's at your service. You will get bored. It's human nature. You know, you'll be there for, you know, after a bit, oh, I need to get back to work. Astaghfirullah. But in paradise, you can't do that. This verse also indicates that. What does the Quran say? La yabghuna anha hiwala. They will not wish to change. They are happy. Meaning Allah Ta'ala has blessed us because we don't need anything else. We don't need to go anywhere else. Verse 109. Say, if the ocean were ink with which to write the words of my Lord, sooner would the ocean be exhausted than would the words of my Lord, even if we added another ocean like it for its end. So note the word ocean, bahr. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا. So the word is ocean. So what is this in reference to? Allah Ta'ala is saying that if my words were, the oceans were the ink, the ocean would run out. So there's a text for this. So the hadith mentions, so this is recorded in Tirmidhi, and he states, Hassan Sahih Gharib, number 3151, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 2309. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, the Quraysh asked the Jews, teach us something about which we may ask this man. So look how devilish the Quraysh were. Because we'll go to the Jews, they've got knowledge of scripture, we'll ask him to ask a very tricky question so we can stop Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Jews said, ask him about the ruh, the spirit. Thus Allah the Almighty reveals Surah 17 verse 85. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ وَلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They ask you about the spirit. Say, the spirit is by the command of my Lord and you have been given little knowledge. Then look what happened. When this was told to the Jews, they said, أُوتِينَا عِلْمًا قَبِيرًا أُوتِينَا التَّوْرَاتَ وَمَنْ أُوتِيَ التَّوْرَاتَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Look at the arrogance. They said, we have been given abundant knowledge. Indeed, we are given the Torah, and he who is given the Torah is given abundant goodness. So stop in the report. So what's happened? Quraysh went to the Jews. He goes, give us a question we can ask Muhammad. He goes, ask him about the spirit, the you know, tricky question. It's Jibreel, the trick question. Ask him about the spirit. So Allah Ta'ala said that the spirit is from my command. You've been given little knowledge. Ilm min al ilm illa qalila. Who's talking to the Jews? You've been given little knowledge. So look what they said in arrogance. Allah Ta'ala told them that they should have kept quiet. They said, "Utina ilman kabira." We've been given abundant knowledge. Allah Ta'ala goes qalila, small. They go, no, kabira. They didn't stop there. Because whoever has been given the Torah, he's been given khayran kathira, abundant goodness. When they said that, Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse, verse 109. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. And then he goes to the end of the verse. If the ocean were ink for the words of my Lord, the ocean would certainly be exhausted before the words of my Lord are exhausted. Though you bring another support in like. So look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala exposed the Jews. They were arrogant because we've been given the Torah. Now what's interesting, you ask Muslims about the Torah, I don't know left from right. You ask him, what was Torah? He goes, given to Moses. MashaAllah, I could have told you that. What does the Quran mention about it? And then he goes, Quran mentions about Torah. I don't got a clue. Allah Ta'ala mentions four things about the Torah. In Surah 5, verse 44, he calls it Huda and An-Nur. He calls it guidance and he calls it a light. Surah 5, verse 44. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala has called the Torah Huda, guidance, An-Nur, a light. He's called it in Surah 11, verse 17, as an Imam, a guide, and Rahmah, mercy. So imagine, do a little survey of the Muslims. Say, what is Allah Ta'ala talking about here, brother? He's mentioned in the Quran. He's called it a guidance, he's called it a nur, he's called it an imam, he's called it rahmah. What's he talking about? Which one would say, oh, he's talking about Torah? Response would be, oh, come on, brother, it's corrupted scripture. Doesn't Allah Ta'ala know that? He's given it four attributes. So when the Jews said, we've been given abundant knowledge, this is what deluded them. Why did Allah the Almighty then say this? Verse 109. If you've been given an ocean and you write my words, the ocean would be finished. My words won't. If you get another ocean, the ocean would finish. You could never end my words. He was highlighting that when he's given the Holy Scripture, his words, this is only part of his knowledge. Have you understood? The Quran isn't the complete knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Torah is not the complete knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Zabur, the Injil, the Suhuf, etc. It's not a complete knowledge. The Jews made that mistake. They go, we don't need anything. We've been given complete knowledge. Kabira. So Allah Ta'ala then told them in this verse. Now what's interesting, where is this verse? If you look at the whole, why has Allah Ta'ala placed this verse here? Because who triggered off this surah?
The chosen ones.
He goes, ask him what? About the sleepers of the cave. Ask him about what? Zulqarnain. Ask him about the spirit. So Allah Ta'ala at the end of the verse goes, here, take this as well. Does. Right? But people aren't studying Quran. Imagine Ramadan. See you next Ramadan. So I study the book. Look how beautiful the penultimate verse of Surah Al-Kahf. Allah Ta'ala is telling you something. Because don't be like the Jews. Right? And what's interesting? How does the Quran finish and end? The first verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's the first verse. Bis. And what's the first letter? B. And what's the last verse of the Quran? Nas. What's the last letter? S. Bas. So one of the scholars said, Allah Ta'ala goes, Bas. That's enough for you. In other words, Quran, that's enough. I've given you a bit of my knowledge. Bas. And yeah, fruitcakes now. The complete book. Complete. Because brother, look, keep saying complete. The guy's going to start thinking it's the complete knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not his complete knowledge. The Prophet himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I ask you by all the names you've taught me and all the names you've kept to yourself. So what's these names that he's kept to himself? Meaning Allah Ta'ala only gives what he wants to give. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can have his knowledge. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even the scholars have talked about the 50,000 years. What did he write down? He only wrote down what was going to happen in this universe. Of ours. Don't forget, there's other creations. So his knowledge is beyond the beyond. And that's why shirk. People, why doesn't God forgive shirk? Waqiyah, brother. Waqiyah, right? Now there's a problem. What does it mention in this hadith? This hadith I've quoted to you indicates it was revealed in Makkah, this surah. Because the Quraysh went to the Jews who were in Medina. There's another report. In Sahih Bukhari, number 125, Sahih Muslim, number 2794, then Medina, number 3152, Hassan Sahih. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, radiallahu, I was walking with the Prophet in a field of Al-Madinah. Fi harthin bil Madina. Stop the report. Hang on. What? The Prophet is in Medina. Then the hadith continues. He leaned on a branch of a date tree as he was walking. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We came across a company of Jews. Some of them said to the others, ask him something. Others said, don't ask him, because he might say something you don't like. They said, O Abu Qasim, tell us about the ruh. The Prophet paused for a moment, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the hadith says, وَرَفَأَ رَأْسُهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَأَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. He raised his head towards the heaven, and I realized he was receiving revelation. Revelation descended, and he recited Surah 17, verse 85. أَرْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوْتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The spirit is by the command of your Lord, and you've been given very little knowledge. So now what's the problem?
The problem is that this is a Makkan surat from some narrations.
Mashallah.
But this narration states
it's Al-Madinah. Somebody goes, contradiction. This surat was revealed in Makkah, consensus. What's this then? The Jews asked him about the spirit. That was in, the clearly says he was in a field with Abdullah ibn in Medina. So here the scholars explain. So Hafiz ibn Kathir, he said, rahmatullah alayh, in his tafsir, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud in Bukhari, this wording demands at first thought that this verse, verse 109, is Madini. So some scholars say the whole surah is Makkah, except this verse. Verse 109, because it was taught about the Jews and the, he goes, so that one verse is Medina. But then he says, and that it was revealed about the Jews. However, this can be reconciled by saying that the verse was revealed to him a second time in Medina, as it was revealed to him before in Makkah. So basically the whole surah was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Jews asked the question again, the Prophet ﷺ looked to the heavens as if to see, wanting to deceive, and then the same verse was revealed again. Or Ibn Kathir said, it could be said that the revelation was sent down to him, telling him to answer them with the same verse that was revealed. So Allah Ta'ala actually told him, repeat what I've revealed to you in Makkah. Meaning, this is not a trick question. They're asking the same thing. So note, the scholars look into it, and look how easily we miss this. Somebody could say, well, brother, which one is it? Makkah or Medina? They're both authentic. And the response is, yeah, so there's no contradiction. Well, there is. Makkah or Medina. He said, it was revealed in Makkah, but this particular verse was revealed again. And our belief clearly indicates that many verses were revealed more than once. Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed more than once. Surah Al-Ikhlas was revealed more than once. For instance, the Jews asked the Prophet, what's your Lord made of? Allah Ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Ikhlas. The unbelieving Quraysh came, because who's your Lord? Allah Ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Ikhlas. Say it again. Note, he's revealing it again because he's answering the same. So we have, this is how we explain these passages of the Quran. So on the side of this, we will conclude. أَذْبِ اللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْخُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our heart. And we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives you for any errors which I may have inadvertently ordered. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka wa billahi min shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asl insanu lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sabr sallallahu alaihi wasallam.